Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Going on, guys. Welcome back to Strikeout Bros. This is the mid-season episode. You know, we're at the All-Star break. It just went down yesterday. What's good, Losh? What's good?
Yeah, the All-Star game. I didn't watch much of it because I was working, so I just watched snippets. It sounds like the most exciting part was the end of the game because they did a new format in the All-Star game where instead of extra innings with the man on second, they did it, what do you call it, a home run swing off. So the top three, you could choose your top three hitters for each league, and they partake in a three pitches per batter swing off, and whoever hits the most home runs ends the tie. It's like how they do in soccer. When it's end of overtime in soccer, they go to penalty kicks.
Yeah.
You know, best out of five, whoever. So that's what they did. It was kind of fun. It was kind of cool. But the only problem I have with it, felt like kind of dragged on. Either way, any type of overtime you do is going to drag on. But it was kind of cool, you know, something different, you know, make the All-Star interesting, a little bit more interesting. But it was a pretty good game. So that's what I always tell people. Baseball is the only All-Star game where you can't half-ass it. You really, really actually play a game. It's not like football where they just play patty cake. Flag football or basketball where they just play light deep. They don't play defense. They just chuck up threes. In baseball, you can't just lollygag a pitch to the hitter. He's just going to smoke you. You know,
you might not run as hard. I guess. Yeah, you don't want to get smoked. You don't want to get hurt, you know, because the game doesn't count, you know. But, you know, my team have four. You know, Peterson got in there because Ray went down.
Ray from the Giants.
Yeah, so he couldn't play. So Peterson got the slot. But it's okay because, you know, I don't know. I didn't watch the game, bro. I didn't watch the game. I don't find it interesting. You know, I wanted to watch it because of the ABS, you know.
And I wanted to see. That was cool.
Yeah, you got to see a little bit of it, right? I didn't get to see it. You know, Edwin Diaz made it. Alonso made it. And Lindor made it. You know what I'm saying? Lindor had that season, you know, that the opposite of last year, you know, where he was really good in the beginning. Let's see if he can continue, right? And last year, he was really bad in the beginning. And then he started heating up. And then right by the All-Star break, they were like, oh, he shouldn't have made it. No, he wasn't good enough to make it. You know what I'm saying? This year is different. Let's see what happens at the, you know, second half of the season. It's not really the second half because, you know, we played more than half already, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, my only gripe before we go on to the main topic, my only gripe with the All-Star game is you just had your best player in the league sign a $750 million contract, and he's not in the All-Star game. But meanwhile, Mazeroski from the Milwaukee Bucks, he started five games in his MLB career and he's All-Star. Tell me how that makes no sense. You know what I mean?
Makes no sense, but it's okay.
I know
though.
He had a bad year, a bad April, but he was the player of the month, Juan Soto, and he didn't get, like, come on, man. Like, that's Manfred went wrong.
Yeah, listen, before we get into that, all right, since we're talking about that and we're here right now, you know, we're going to talk about this later, but I understand what you're saying because you make a lot of sense, right? And let me explain something to you, all right? Juan Soto, before and after June 1st, okay? So we got 231 before June, 9 home runs, 27 RBIs, right? OPS 770. Come on, man. We didn't pay for that. We paid for something better than that, right? So here comes June 1st. This is after June 1st. He's batting 320. He has 14 home runs from June 1st to now, right? 29 RBIs. OPS is 1.146, all right? So, you know what I'm saying? That's what we paid for. The problem is, he's the only one hitting now. So we have to figure this out. Because when he wasn't hitting, we were doing great. And if that means
Alonso
that...
was doing great.
Yeah. Well, you know...
More specific.
Lindor was doing great
and
as well.
And Lindor too.
Okay, then. So that's what they're in the All-Star, you know, game. They were, right?
You know, for the Mets, man, that bottom of the lineup has to pick up because if they don't, man, it's going to hurt them because there's only so much you can rely on the top of the lineup. That's just my opinion.
You can't have duds at the bottom of the lineup. This is my gripe as well. You can't have duds at the bottom of the lineup, right?
I know.
If you're going to have Tyrone Taylor in the lineup because of his amazing 80. Defensive skills, right? You can't put him at the bottom of the lineup with the other bums. You know what I'm saying? Because now you got three bums lined up back to back to back. Yeah, McNeil's hitting right now, so this is why he's in the lineup. But no. I don't think so. It's not how it works. You see what they started doing? They started making Soto DH. So that kind of opens up a lot of things for us. You know what I'm saying? It opens up right field. And if you want to dump McNeil back there, fuck it. Do it, right? But keep him there and keep Soto at DH. It doesn't matter. He's producing. You know what I'm saying? And you got to remember that Soto's a mediocre right fielder anyway. Yeah, he has a good arm, but he's mediocre back there. He's no Tyrone Taylor. You know what I'm saying? He's not the complete package, but he has an amazing bat. And he's finally showing it, and we're finally getting to benefit from it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I can say right now at the moment.
Yeah. But anyway, the main topic of hand has been the red hot Boston Red Sox. Yeah. And, you know, going into the season, I know you predicted that the Red Sox would be there with the Yankees just because there's just look
definitely.
At on paper, their rotation was good.
Yes.
And
amazing.
This is before we knew Devers would be traded. We don't know what hindsight is. You know, you can't tell. You didn't even think that was going to happen. But before then, we're like, they should be good. They got Garrett Crochet. They got a bunch of other good pitchers. They have a really good starting rotation. It just the problem in the first half of the season was with them is their offense was non-productive, really, for the most part. But now, recently, right before the All-Star game, it's funny. They've traded Ray Devers, and ever since they've traded him, they've gotten hot. And everyone's like, oh, man, now you got rid of him. Who's their best player? But so Daniel Rafaela, the center fielder, has stepped up. You know, Bregman is still coming back from injury.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I mean, shit.
They have
crazy.
Players that, you know, it's not household names anymore. You know, there's people you don't know of. What's that guy? Roman Anthony, I think his name is. The prospect, the number one prospect.
But that's his division.
Up.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. That's his division.
He's been doing good since they came up. So, you know, they just got hat. Now, can they keep that momentum? You know, I don't know.
I think so. You know why? Because they have the pitching. You know what I'm saying? They can pick each other up. It's going to be great. You know, like now the race is so tight and I love it. This is what I expected, man. I feel like it's Boston's division to lose. At first, I thought it was going to be you and Boston fighting all the way from the beginning of the season before it started. You know, like this is my predictions. You know what I'm saying? But like now... It's getting kind of crazy out there. Toronto wants to play well. And it's funny because Toronto, I wasn't even thinking about Toronto. Toronto, you know, they make their big splash. You know, they kept their, you know, their stud. And I'm like, okay, so they want to win. They want to spend money because at this point, you're going to have to build around them. You just can't keep them there and say, yeah, you know, people are going to come to see Vladimir. Yeah, they will, but you're not going to win championships like that. But look at them now. Look at them now. They went on that streak. And it actually meant something because the Yankees were suffering at this point and they were able to catapult. And now when you look at the standings, it's pretty crazy. So let's look at the standings now. Toronto, 55-41, first place, right? They're two below 500 playing away and they're way beyond 500 at home. Then you have the Yankees, 53-43. Two games back, way up, you know, like 11 games, you know, above 500 at home, right? And then you have one game below 500 away. So not bad, you know. They both, you know, lost their last two games before the break. And Boston, 10 in a row, right? 53 and 45, all right? They just lost two more games than the Yanks, and they're three games behind Toronto, one behind the Yankees. This is what I'm talking about. They're well above 500. Exactly. They're four games below 500 when playing away games, you know. And Tampa Bay, you know, Tampa Bay's been doing well too. They're at 50 and 47, right? Five and a half games back. And they lost four in a row, you know what I'm saying? So they had a little problem there. If not, they were probably right in the middle of all that shit. And you guys are 7.5 games back from the wild card, so I'm not counting you guys out yet. You know, Cleveland's in front of you, and they're 4.5 games back from the, you know.
Yeah, I just, well, the reason why Toronto catapulted the Yankees because in that 10-game span, the Yankees had a 7-game losing streak. And the reason why they keep losing is not because they're starting pitching. It's because their defense is, they are one of the worst teams defensively. If you watch their games, they have no third baseman. The shortstop, who was their prize jewel at the time, you know, they consider him to be a prize jewel in Anthony Volpe. He's been terrible offensively and defensively, bobbling ball, you know, booting balls everywhere, half-heartedly throwing the ball to second base, and then the guy gets on because of it, and it's just like just dumb plays. So defensively, they're just getting killed. And then offensively, the only guys that are producing has been Chisholm. He's been producing offensively. Stan and Judge, those are the three main guys. And that's why they have 53 wins. But they lost the division lead because in that 7-game losing streak, Toronto went on a 10-game winning streak and took advantage of it. So now, yeah, I think, could the Yankees get ahead of them? Sure, but they got it. See, here's the thing about the Yankees, and no one knows about this unless you're a local fan or, you know, you listen to the local media. The Yankees' defense has always been a problem. Now, you're like, how is that possible? They made it to the World Series. They only had one bad inning. No, that's been going on for a long time. It just finally got exposed in the most crucial game ever in the World Series.
That's what happened, yeah.
And now that you saw that, if you're a local fan or you're like us, we listen because, you know, we have to for the show. You see and you watch the games. And even you saw the Mets and Yankees in Citi Field recently, and they made a bunch of errors in those games too. And then that's why, you know, the Mets were able to win that series. The Mets took advantage of the Yankees' mistakes and things. And that's what you got to do, take advantage of teams that make mistakes. But for a New York team like that, for the Yankees, who are class, you know, one of the top-tier teams in all of Major League Baseball, you know, growing up in the early 2000s, that wouldn't be allowed. George Steinbrenner would be breaking everything in the room. He'd be getting rid of players. Hey, so ship this guy out of here. You know, he would have quit on Volpe by now, you know. But it's just a different world we live in. And I would like to say, you can't say that it's a bad division anymore, because in the beginning it just looked like it was the Yankees division.
Not anymore.
Then Toronto got hot, Tampa Bay's good, Boston is getting hot, Baltimore's out of it, just it's what it is. They just dug a hole too far that they can't climb out of. But anyway, even said, knowing that you can now compete with three out of the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Five teams to win your division. And let me tell you something. And from last year, being a wild card team is not a good thing anymore. Look at every wild card team that was in the wild card last year, they got their butts handed to. Baltimore got handed to. Atlanta got their butts handed to. Yeah. And so on. Because that's three extra games. And, you know, those games start like a day or two after the season ends.
Yeah.
So season ends September 28th. I think, or 29th, your first game is the 1st of October, maybe the 2nd. It depends. But either way, you only have 3 days rest. So it's like a normal. So, and by then, you know, you've already played, 182 games, whatever, 160 games, whatever, 62.
Yeah.
And then I got to go out there, and then it's just, it forces you to not set up your lineup the way you want it to.
I know, but you can, though. You know, you have to start looking at it. You have to start preparing for it. You have to start pulling pitches back and saying, all right, you can't pitch right now because we want you ready for the first game. You know, you have to prepare yourself. And that's hard, too, because if you're, like, at the end of the race and you're fighting and one game makes a difference, then you're pulling back starters for a game in the future when you could use them now. You know what I'm saying? Those type of situations, that's what makes baseball really interesting. And this is why I call it a novella, you know? It's like, all right, these things are happening. There's a lot of things happening. There's 30 different novellas happening, and they're all intertwining. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. And I love it. So it's a, you know, it's a male novella. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, but it is. It's a great novella, too. It takes a while for it to, you know, it develops really well. Not a Mets, man. Here we go. Half a game back, you know, Philly came in, did their job. We were suffering, and they took over. Now we're battling back and forth, you know, fighting. And we're going to see. We're going to see what we can do. It's not good. I have a feeling that we're not going to be able to make it. We have to take the division. We have to. It's mandatory. I feel like at this stage, I feel like the Phillies can make a wild card if we make the division, but I don't feel like we'll make the wild card either. I don't know about this team. I don't like it. Last year's team was electric. I loved it. I loved the order. I love the pitching. It was great. I enjoyed it. You know, we came up short, but I enjoyed that season. This season is a funny season for me. Like, you know, ups and downs are so hard with the Mets this year. I can't tell you. We need help. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. There's a lot of rumors out there, right? And the rumors are for your team. You guys are, like, ready to open up shop, right? That's what it looks like. So you have Andrew Kittredge, right? Anthony Dominguez, Gregory Soto, Cedric Mullins.
Felix Bautista.
Those are all, you know, those are the names that, you know, could be possibly playing in Queens, you know what I'm saying? And then you have Arizona, you know. You got Gurriel Jr., Jake McCarthy, Alex Thomas, Randall Gerchak.
Suarez.
And John Heyman said that, right? That, you know, of the MLB Network, he stated that those are the guys, the outfielders that, you know, the Mets might be looking at as well. I'm not sure, you know. Like, we need help, but I think, I don't know who's putting the lineup together. Like, that's the problem for me. I don't think, you know, we needed a couple of pieces. Yeah, a center fielder, maybe a third baseman. I don't know. But then what do you do with what we have? You know what I'm saying? What do you do? Let's say we go out there, we get, you know, a center fielder. You know, that's fine. All right, you can make Soto a DH. I just said that, right, not too long ago. And then you can figure that situation out. So I'm pretty sure you're not going to get rid of McNeil in that situation now, right? Because if you get a center fielder, you have to get rid of Tyrone Taylor. What do you do with him? No, you have to trade him.
And yeah, you would have to trade him.
You have to trade him. And now
he's not going to go to AAA.
Yeah, no, but is that good enough for that other team? No, it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be one for one. I mean,
well, it depends who the player is, you know.
Yeah, it depends.
Like, if you're trading for, I don't know, because if you're trading for like a Duran or someone like that or Mullins, Baltimore's going to want a decent return.
Exactly.
I think more so with Boston than Baltimore because Mullins is already 31 years old. He probably has, what, maybe 5 good years left in him.
And it's a super rental. So it wouldn't be hard to move him.
Sign him next year.
No, but you would move him. You know, like, let's say, all right, it's a super rental. So if you get somebody with a little bit of controllability, right, and they go over there, they're younger, you know what I'm saying, and they can put something together, that's cool, you know. That'll work for you. You know what I'm saying? It's a win-win for you because you weren't going to re-sign him anyway. So you get something out of it. So he's definitely going to be on the move. I mean, 7.5 games out with all the baseball that's left, you can pull it off.
Yeah. But the thing is the question you're asking, can you do a straight-up trade, Tyrone Taylor for a Mullins or a Duran?
No,
or
they're both rentals. They're both rentals, so that makes no sense.
So the answer is no. You'd have to be included in a package. And, you know, Baltimore is going to want prospects. Baltimore is notorious for prospects. The problem is they're prospect huggers. So, And I just watching the draft, because the draft was doing All-Star break, and Baltimore was heavy-handed on drafting pitchers, because that's something they've never had, true good pitchers in their farm system. And so I think that's their biggest weakness. Because, you know, not to switch on Baltimore, but my problem with Baltimore, I saw a YouTube video about it, is they don't play their guys when they should. Like, for example, you know, this guy, Kobe Mayer, they bought him up. And he needs to just consistently play, figure it out. You know, you on off all the time. How are you going to expect a guy? And yeah, I noticed that with Jackson Holliday last year with when Brandon High was the manager. What he would do is he wouldn't play the guy consistently.
Exactly.
And,
the problem is
he would struggle. So you get into a groove, then you take him out, and then you struggle. Then you take him, then he gets in hot, then you take him out. Just leave him in there. And this guy, Manzolino, the new manager, interim, he finally realized, okay, I got to just leave him in there, let him work through his struggles. And he's actually been one of the most productive players. He doesn't have great numbers, but he has good OPS. He has a good average. He's been hitting home runs. So I think they just need to play their guys. Leave Gunnar Henderson in there. Leave Mayo in there. Let these guys play. Get rid of another guy I wanted to trade, but you can't now because he's injured, is Ryan Mountcastle. That's someone I would have traded for, because you have a future baseman in Kobe Mayo if you play him all the time. And then the reason why I don't mind getting rid of Mullins, because, one, he's getting old. He's going to want a lot of money. Two, you have a guy in AAA who can play his position, Enrique Bradfield, or if worse comes to worse, which it won't happen because you need a speedster for center field, you could put Heston Kerstad back in there. He's been a platooning left field with Tyler O'Neill. But now that Tyler O'Neill's back, Kerstad is out. So going back to the Mets, you know for sure you need a third baseman. There's the two needs that the Mets need, in my opinion. You definitely need a third baseman, and you definitely need a second baseman. Pitching would be an asset if you can get a pitcher. Great. But it's not
all right,
the
world. So you said we need a second baseman.
Second baseman. I meant center fielder. Third baseman and center field. That's what I meant. So
okay.
Second baseman, right, O'Neill, whatever his name is.
So what do you do? So let's say you get a big name third baseman, right?
You get Suarez, let's just say.
Okay, let's say we get that guy, right? Now, what do you do with Beatty and what do you do with Vientos?
Vientos and Beatty. Send him to New York City recycle mill. Throw him over there. Let someone pick him up.
Yeah, that's what I
Mauricio, I like him. You know my problem with Mauricio, and it drives me crazy. And I bash the crap out of your team, but I do watch the games. And there's some games Mauricio like, man, look at that man. He's a stud. He's looked like the prospect that he thought he was, and then the next day he just looked like throwing a ball going off his hand. You know, there's one game, I think the ball went off his hand. I was like, what the hell are you doing? Things that he should make. So he drives me. He's inconsistent. That's my problem.
He's still young. Do you have to understand it? These are puppies, all right? You have to treat them correctly,
all right?
You
got to just play him well. Just
no, but listen, but all right, that play you're talking about, that happened on third base, right? So, like, you got him playing second. You got him playing third. You got him all fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Listen,
leave him in one place.
Exactly, leave him in one place. So what are you doing? So you have Acuna, you have,
he just
Mauricio.
Came back.
So exactly. So like, what are you doing, man? You're destroying this development. I don't know. It's so bad, man. If it was up to me, I would keep Acuna on second for the whole season. I would let him collect the stolen bases, and I would let him hit and get comfortable at second, which he plays really well, and I like him there. I like the way he moves over there, and he's fast, and he needs the at bats. He needs to get comfortable. You know what I'm saying? And they're definitely not letting him have him. So that's what I would do with that second base situation. And I wouldn't move him from there at all. Now, the third base situation, it's not gonna be Mauricio. All right. So Mauricio, at this point, I will let him develop as well, but I will let him develop at the DH slot. And I would figure out what to do with him, next year and where he fits in. But I would definitely let him get his at-bats because I know he can hit. This way he doesn't have to worry about fielding a base that he's not comfortable at, like third. I feel like he's not comfortable there. So I would just keep him at the DH, right? So that solves that problem. If you don't really have a DH, and I think that he's a better hitter than Winker, and Winker completely took his check and ran with it because he did not play for us He got hurt early on. He got hurt back, again. And he got hurt again.
And I like Winker.
Yeah, I like Winker too, but you know what? Nah. And you know, the thing with Winker, that Winker, when the Mets signed him, they were definitely thinking DH all the way, because defensively, he's not really all that good. You know what I'm saying? Especially not over Tyrone, but
Tyrone's not hitting. Good guy off the bench is what I mean.
Yeah, he's a good guy off the bench.
Play him for one day, give somebody a rest.
Yeah, right, definitely. Yeah, you're 100% right. He's a good utility, man. Yeah, that's a good guy. Yeah, I like this guy. You know what I'm saying? But this year, didn't show up at all. So now he gets hurt twice, so whatever. The third base situation. I feel that Vientos earned his slot last year with everything he did. He played well in the playoffs as well. I feel like he earned his slot at third, and nobody should be fucking with that. You know what I'm saying? All right, he got hurt for a while. So, yeah, sure, you bring up Beatty, you let him play third. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. That's cool. But once he comes back up, hey, that's his slot. He earned it. Let him keep it. You know, all that pressure, you know, think about it. All that pressure for that kid. He earns the slot. He stops hitting. Now, all of a sudden, they're yanking him. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, every player goes through their struggles, right? When Lindor goes through his struggles, they don't send him down, right? They don't platoon shortstop when he fucks up like that and he goes through a deep struggle. They don't do that to Alonso when he goes through a deep struggle. You know what I'm saying? A deficit at the plate. You know, they don't do that to those players. So they shouldn't be doing that to Vientos either. You know what I'm saying? Because we know he can hit. We just have to figure out why he's not hitting at the moment. All right? So that wouldn't even be a situation for me. We don't need a third baseman. We just need to let Vientos figure it out. All right? If it takes too long,
let him
play
through his struggles.
Exactly. Just like you let Lindor and Alonso and Soto play through their struggles.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Vientos just came back. People forget that. He just came back from... He got hurt last summer or last year. He just recovered. He's finally back. He's getting his feet, you know, comfortable, I guess.
It takes a while. Yeah, it takes a while.
I don't know why organizations do that. The player struggles, they freak out. I'm like, yank him. Just leave him in there. Let him figure it out. Either he sinks or he swims. You know, my parents told me, you know, when it was time for me to move out, they said, listen, we got to kick you out because we got to learn. We got to see if you can either sink or swim. It wasn't to be mean, because they said, we want you to grow up in the adult. Yeah, you might struggle. You might fly on your face. But if we just let you live here in our house, you'll never grow. Same thing with Vientos. If you don't leave him in there, he's not going to know how to figure himself out and get better. You know, it's funny because over across the street in the Bronx, fans are calling for people to sit Volpe. But at the same time, the Yankees' theory is like, no, let's play him. Let's see if he can figure out through his struggles. And so far, he hasn't done it. So it's like the Mets are like, well, if we do that, is that going to be the problem with Vientos? Is he going to continue to struggle? You know, same thing
But you know he can hit.
Yeah. Vientos has a very good... I like Vientos for his defense. He's a good defender for the most part at third. He's a good defender. He's got good range. He can play. That's his place.
That's his place, man. That's his spot, man. I love Vientos, man.
That's where he belongs.
He's a great player, man. He can only get better. Don't do none of that funny stuff with him.
DH nonsense.
No.
Come in now in the eighth inning because, you know, we're losing. We need you to help us score this one. I hate when they do that.
I don't like it either.
Think about it. If you've been a player, right? You're sitting all day. You think you're told you're not going to be in the lineup. You're like, all right, cool. I'm just going to chill. I'm going to be a fan today. Watch the game. Hey, yo, come here, Vientos. Put on the helmet. Let's go. What? Dude, I haven't taken any swings or nothing. Because some players, if they know they're not going to be playing, they're not even take part in batting practice. Why would I? I'm going to rest myself. You know, do muscle recovery, things like that. Yeah, so that's what you're doing with Vientos, and you can't do that. Just play him every day. What do you have to lose? Because here's my thing, right? If you just play him out, then you know for sure, and he figures it out, boom. Now you don't have to go get
a third baseman. You don't need that. You have it. He is the all-star. He's young. He's going to be the fireman. If you play him properly, he can definitely produce for you. He can be that workhorse. You know what I'm saying? I love him, man. It's horrible what they're doing to him. But it's okay, though. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because they're going to suffer. This is the reason why. Now, left field, don't touch Nemo. Why are you playing with Nemo? Why are you DHing?
Yeah, that drives me crazy.
McNeil, that drives me insane. Leave Nemo alone. Nemo's our captain. I'm sorry, but he's the silent captain. He goes out there every day. He fights. He fights every single day, defensively and offensively. He's nasty. Yep. I love him. He's a workhorse. Listen, that's our captain. I don't care what anybody says. And then at center field, this is where I would make the change. We have McNeil. Let's play McNeil. Let's play McNeil center, and let's keep him there, all right, until he stops hitting. But he's been hitting lately. All right, so take center and stay at center, okay? You're a true outfielder anyway. This is who you are. So play center. You're small. You're pretty fast. You can handle it. You can go out there and handle center. And, of course, we play Soto and right field. And I will keep that lineup consistently. Now, the order of the lineup, now that I have these, you know, elements in there and they're staying there, then I can play with that lineup. You know, you can, you know, make the number five another fast runner so you can start the wheel all over again. Now you have Acuna playing second, so you can make that happen. You can make him the fifth, you know what I'm saying, person in the lineup. Lindor's going to be first. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to make Soto second. And you're going to put Alonso third. This is how you have to set it up. All right? And Nemo can go fourth. Okay? And then you can figure out what to do with the... And, you know, obviously, I will keep Torrens at the number one. And I will make Alvarez number two until he can figure it out. You know what I'm saying? When I see consistency, and I can definitely... use him as a DH as well, you know what I'm saying? So he can figure it out, at, you know, so he's just not sitting there and figure out his bats. I would do that too. I will make Alvarez a DH, you know, when he's not catching. You have options, but they're not playing this team nowhere near what I just finished talking about or saying. But it's whatever. It's whatever. We're not going to make it. Trust me, we're not going to make it. Listen, in June, you guys will... starting to pick up the pace and figure it out. In July, 6-5. All right? 7.5 games back. Cleveland's 4.5 games back. You guys have a shot. I'm not counting you guys out yet. You got to go out there and get some pitching. You know, you can figure it out. Stay competitive. You never know what can happen.
Well, I've just been... because I've been following the Orioles injury updates and transactions. And so they're getting Grayson... they're getting some of the pitchers back. Grayson Rodriguez is coming back. Albert Suarez, I think, should be coming back. He was one of the stars last year. He did great for them. Either Tyler Wells or Kyle Brash, one of them is getting back. So I have hope for them, but I think they should still be sellers and just say, you know what?
No.
Let's just shoot for just get to 500. You know, just have a good, better second half. It's okay if we don't make the playoffs. You know, considering the fact we put ourselves in the hole, retool, see if we can get some pitching prospects back in the trade deadline. Or future, whatever the case may be, let go of the Ryan Hearns of the world, the Mullins of the world, Mountcastles of the world. Those are some guys, you know, who are one and done, are going to be gone. The Charlie Mortons of the world, he could be a potential trade bait. Sugano, Dominguez, all these guys. You know, lately the bullpen has been great. It's what's carried them in the month of July.
June. They have been. They've inherited so many runners, and they have not allowed any of that shit to come across the plate. They've been amazing, all right,
that's bro? Been one of the strengths in the last couple of years has been their bullpen. That's always been their strength, is their bullpen. So even if they trade those guys, they might have some guys in the minor leagues that they can come up that might do
you know,
well.
Spark the spark the team. You never know, man, because those kids always play with
just
heart.
Just play spoiler.
You
know, why not?
Exactly. I would love that.
Yeah, I think Baltimore should sell. It sucks because it's not a reboot. It's a retool. Okay, we know what we need to get in the offseason. We need to get starting pitching. Assuming the guys that come back, here's what I would do. Guys that were hurt last year coming back, let them play this year, see how they do. If Kyle Brash looks like he's back to his old form and Tyler Wells, it looked like they're back to their home selves. Okay, and Grayson Rodriguez looks good and he's back to himself. Okay, now we know we got three starters from last year that are going to play next year. So that's three starters.
And, yeah, exactly. Then you add from
that. We know. Yeah. And so now we know, okay, we don't need to go get starting pitching. You know, we might need to just get, you know, an ace for the rotation and then move on from there. And they just work within the system, within your farm system for the other guys. You know, they had another guy last year who was a rookie, Cade Povich. He was doing great. Another guy that's hurt. You know, if you think about it, if you look at Orioles rotation from last year to this year, only one guy is starting from this rotation from last year. That's Dean Kramer, and he's actually doing pretty well. He started out slow, but he's having a great year. But he's the only original starter from last year. Everybody else is fill-ins, you know. And I'm sorry, but you can't win if you just have a bunch of fill-ins. It's gonna be hard, you know. Lately they've been doing well, so that's good. They're on their seventh catcher, I think, which is crazy, or fifth catcher, which is crazy. But that's not the reason why they were losing. The reason why they were losing is because the offense was not productive, you know. They just, you know, Gunnar Henderson is still not productive. Rutschman, when he was playing, he was not really productive. He is now hurt. Holiday's been consistent for the most part. O'Neill just came back. And Ryan O'Hearn, he's been there. The Ryan O'Hearn is our version of Brandon Nimmo. He plays hard. He brings his, you know, he works his butt off. He's a lunch pail guy, and he's just producing like crazy for them. But you can't have one guy carrying a nine, one out of nine guys are hitting, that's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
You know, with at least the Mets, you have at least three out of nine, four out of nine guys are producing, you know?
Yeah, we're just the bottom of the order.
Pitching has been great.
Pitching's been decent. I mean, Peterson has been saving us, you know, when everybody got hurt, Peterson came in and said, all right, let me buckle up and let me get busy. Pitching seven innings, you know what I'm saying? That's something we haven't been able to do this year either. We haven't been able to pitch more than seven. Peterson's been doing it, you know what I'm saying? But everybody else has been struggling. And this is why our bullpen got taxed, man. And our bullpen is suffering because of it. You know, Diaz seems like he's starting to pick it up again and starting to feel good about himself. It's a little crazy out there. I don't know. But it's the time of the, you know, show where we talk about the pitcher and the hitter of the week. You know, and it's coming from Lasha, because Lasha, you know, he puts this together every week. He has to search and look for, like, you know, these high-performing pitchers and batters and, you know, how they help their team win. Sometimes these guys don't win, but listen, they go out there and they do their best, and they're going to get, you know, exploited on the show because they did so well. So now, who's the pitcher of the week, brother? The Gunslinger.
So the Gunslinger was the all-star starter for the American League. He resides from the Detroit Tigers, Derek Skubal. Seven innings, was it no hits, or one hit, zero earned runs, and
10
strikeouts.
That's crazy.
And that was against Cleveland. And the crazy thing about that game was a pitching duel. It went into overtime. It went to extras. Both pitchers pitched really well. It just in the 10th inning, Cleveland gave up, what was it, 5 runs, and that was the end. That was the end of them that game.
That's crazy.
So it was a pitching duel, and I was like, "Wow, I can't believe it." You know, I like pitching duels.
Of course, me too.
And he pitched one inning in the All-Star game, and he had 2 strikeouts, and he was part of the first ABS challenge in the All-Star game. It was a pitch to Manny Machado. They called the ball. They challenged it, and it was right at the bottom of the zone. They called the strike, and he got the strikeout. So that was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
That was good to see. And then
I like that. I can't wait.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. It's gonna be
I
so
can't
much
wait. It's gonna be
speed
fun.
Up the game even faster.
Even with the challenges, because it's gonna be like, nah, sorry, that was a strike. Let's do that real quick. Yeah, it's a strike. Cool. Let's give
tap
me
your head.
Exactly.
Now I don't know how the pitcher signals. Maybe he did the same thing, tapping, because the player, probably, the hitter taps his helmet. Maybe the pitcher does that. But the crazy thing is, the umpire can hear the pitcher. He's right there. They're like, what, 90 feet away? Not even. So it's like, hey, umpire, I'm challenging you. You don't even have to do all gyros and all that.
But it's because I have a universal, you know, sign. You know, I like that.
Yeah, because it's like, it's in football, you got a flag. In baseball, you don't have a flag, you know.
I like it. I like this. This is going to be so much better for the sport. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be fun for the fans, you know what I'm saying? Because when we're like, no, you better challenge that, you know what I'm saying? You're going to hear that now, you know what I'm saying? Bullshit, that was a strike. And you know what I'm saying? You're going to get that challenge, and it's going to be awesome. You know what I'm saying?
I personally think they should bring it. I personally think they should bring it into the playoffs this year because it's going to be really important. You need that for the playoffs, and they should do it this year.
Man, that would be awesome. If they did that, but that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if they don't, which they're not going to, there's going to be
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Controversial game where the game ended on a strike three. That was a ball.
Of course.
Damn it.
Of course, that's gonna happen.
And then someone could lose a spot in the playoffs or get kicked out of it. You know, whoever. You know. But anyway, the hitter of the week was the most disappointing player. Home Run Derby, Jazz Chisholm Jr. He hit 2-for-4, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, and 2 runs against Seattle on July 9th in the Yankees 9-6 win. He's been productive. He's just not third base is not his natural position, so he sucks over there. But I don't know, Yankees are not doing the right thing by him as far as putting him in the right place to succeed.
Yeah, he's electric. He's electric.
Good. He's flashy.
Yeah, he's too flashy for me, but he's electric. You know, he's a Lindor. He's another Lindor. I think he's a little bit flashier than Lindor, but
Lindor's a little bit more humble.
Yeah, a little bit more, but they're both flashy guys. You know what I'm saying?
Like
Jazz Chisholm Jr.
He's more like a little cocky, you know, asshole. Yeah. Where Lindor is, you know, he's not really cocky. He's just flashy, if that makes sense.
Flashy. Yeah. I dig it. I don't like Lindor's style either. You know, like it bothers me a little sometimes, but he's a good player. Yeah. Listen, you know, he's hitting now. He's earning his money. And, you know, he's a great defensive player, you know, that's for sure. But a little on the flashy side for me, you know. I don't like those players. Like I said, Nemo's my stand-up guy, you know. And we were talking about, you know, Alvarez earlier on the phone, right? And to bring it to light on the show, you were asking me what I thought about him, you know, hitting so well downstairs, you know? And I'm like, well, you know, he's relaxed. He's not worried about people, you know, scrutinizing how he's playing. He's not, you know, he's in a relaxed state. He's hitting the ball. He's comfortable. You know what I'm saying? He needs to get those at-bats. He needs to be consistent, get, you know, into his form. You know, like I was out there on the golf course today for 5 hours, you know what I'm saying? I was, you know, tweaking my shit, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how to get better. My chipping is amazing. That's all like real close to the green. My putting is amazing. You know, I have problems with the pitching. Like, I don't know what happened. You know, 1 week you'll be great at it, and the next week it's like, what happened? You know, so then, you know, you find yourself tweaking things here and there. But, you know, I played some good rounds today, you know. And I have fun with it. I played like 36 holes today.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Going back to the Mets pitching. So now with Manaea and Senga coming back, that's why I think the Mets could be okay. Where does that put McGill? Is he going to be bumped out of line of the rotation, or is he going to stay where he is?
Well, you know, Blackburn isn't doing so well, right? So I'm assuming that if McGill does end up coming back up, Blackburn's the first one out, and he'll be moved to the bullpen. And then we'll probably never see him pitch again for the rest of the season. But this is what's going to happen. So, like, right now we have Senga, right? We have Manaea. Manaea came in. I didn't get to watch the game, and I didn't even look, right? Because I'm like, you know, going through the motions. I'm like, we're not going to make it, right? But you never know. I might be wrong. But my dad said he pitched well. He did his thing. It was a split start, right? It was Holmes and Manaea, I believe. So we have Holmes, right? We have Manaea, we have Senga, Blackburn, right? And Peterson. So not so bad, right? If Manaea comes in like he did last year and Senga can keep his, you know, origami legs, you know, intact for the rest of the season, doesn't hurt himself again then, and Clay Holmes continues to, you know, fight, I think we'll be all right. You're right about that. I think we need one more arm because of the Blackburn situation and we want to dominate, you know what I'm saying? Be dominant, like, for the rest of the stretch. So I would definitely get one more arm. does it have to be a high caliber arm? Hey, I don't know. I heard that we're looking at this guy too. It's another rumor. You know what I'm saying? And his name is from Arizona. What's his name? I'll get back.
Merrill Kelly.
That's his name right there, Merrill Kelly. And apparently, he's a workhorse. You know what I'm saying? He pitches well. And Arizona doesn't seem like they want to stay in it. So
that's a disappointing team, you know, because they gave a bunch of money to Burns. Burns got hurt, so that's not Arizona's fault. But Arizona's like Baltimore in the sense that they have a really good offense, just not producing. You know, just not, you know, Naylor, Suarez has been good, Gurriel, Jerickson, Profar, and Ketel Marte. Not Profar. What's his name? He's number two. I can't think of his name. Hold on, I'm looking up right now. What's his name? Spanish Profar is the guy in the Braves.
The Braves that got
called. Hold on, I'm looking up.
Bad for 80.
No, what's it? Oh, I can't think of his name, man. Hold on, I'm looking.
But they have a good squad, that's for sure. And you know what? I don't know what's happening to them right now. It's a tough division, that's for sure. But you know, they're a tough out. And if they get rid of these guys, you know what I'm saying?
That's Perdomo.
Cool. Okay, got you.
Geraldo Perdomo, that's what I was thinking of. He's a good player for them. Suarez, Perdomo. Corbin Carroll is also there. He was an all-star. Grichik. I'm amazed. Jake McCarthy, Alec Thomas, that's a good team on paper, and they're just,
man.
I don't know, man.
But listen,
I know they lost a lot of rotation, I guess. I don't know.
We can get rid of anybody I mentioned, like Beatty, get rid of McNeil, you know what I'm saying? Anything along those lines, man, I'll be super happy for that guy right there, Merrill, that's his name, right?
Cool, yeah.
I would definitely take him and take Beatty. Let's see what happens,
Merrill
man.
Merrill Kelly, yeah.
We gotta get rid of these people. Let's see what happens, man. But so now the question of the day for you, sir. All right, so the American League and the National League, right? They played 94 games, right? And two of them were ties. So now 92 games. Who won what out of those 92 games? Yeah. Okay, so like I said, 94 total games, right? Two of them were ties. So the other 92, split that up. And who do you think won more games?
Oh, 92.
Yeah. So let's start with, who do you think won more?
I'd say probably the American League by maybe 30 wins.
Oh, wow. You really think highly of the American League, but you're wrong, sucker. So now,
I'm biased. What do you expect?
No. Guess what? It's only four games. The American League has the National League only by four games. So it's a 48-44 with the two ties. You know what I'm saying? So that's 94 games total, two ties. American League 48, National League 44. Okay?
So yeah, that's crazy. Just about half, right down the middle.
Yeah,
90 by 2 is 46.
It's pretty crazy, right? Pretty close.
Yeah, that's All-Star game. That's great, you know. This year's All-Star game, I don't think the home field advantage matters anymore. I don't know if that is still in effect.
Nah, that rule is in effect.
Exciting. Like,
that's exciting. You win home field advantage for the World Series.
But now I think they're just going to the highest seed, right? Get some
field advantage. I think so. That's how it used to be.
It should be that way.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, man. It's going to be exciting. The second half is going to be exciting. You know what I'm saying? We have a tight race pretty much everywhere. For some reason, this happened overnight. Like, all the great teams, like, near the end of the first half decided to tank. And all the bad teams started to play well and go on amazing streaks. And now all the divisions are kind of tight. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of crazy. They made it exciting, you know what I'm saying, for the second half. The American League East is on fire right now. You know, and what the crazy shit is that you have to be careful about this wild card situation because the Central, right? You have the Tigers at 59, right? But Minnesota's right there. Kansas City's right there. And Cleveland is right there. 47 wins each for Minnesota and the Royals. And then you have 46 for the Guardians, right? That's pretty close to those 50s in the American League East. So the wild card can pretty much come out of anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there's three slots, but still, there's a lot of teams playing decent baseball. In the West, you have Houston, Seattle, and even the Rangers are trying to fight at 48 wins. And the Angels, for some odd reason, have 47. So if they go on streaks, they can get into that 50, you know, game, you know, wins, you know, situation, and they can get into that wild card as well. It's going to be interesting. We don't really know where the wild card is coming from this year. That's what I'm starting to notice here. In the National League East, same thing. They got the Phillies and the Mets. Everybody else is pretty far behind. I don't know what's going to happen there, though. You never know. Then Chicago is always going to hold it down, right? But look what's happening. Milwaukee's right there by one game, all right? And St. Louis has 51 games, and Cincinnati has 50. And Cincinnati's going to set it off in the second half with the Mets at Citi Field. So if Cincinnati has a good fucking series against the Mets, they'll be right up there as well. Okay? And then we all thought that the wild card was going to come out of the National League West, right? Wrong. Now with all this stuff happening on the other divisions, San Diego and San Francisco aren't that far behind at 52 games. Los Angeles, they had a lot of problems at the end of the first half. They're at 58 wins, though. So, interesting all around, except for Colorado. Colorado knows they're not going anywhere, and that's pretty much, and Washington, Pittsburgh, you know, the Athletics. Those are the only teams that I can say are totally out of it. Oh, Chicago, of course. You know, well, we already, that's a given.
Miami's already out of it. I don't know if you say Miami.
I didn't say Miami, but Miami's playing better ball right now. You know what I'm saying? So I can't count them out. You never know what they can pull off. Because Miami's at 44, you know what I'm saying, 51. I don't know. That's like a, you know, we'll see. I don't know if they're fighting for a wild card or what, but Miami is 7.5 games out. Same situation you're in. So I'm not going to count them out. I'm not going to count them out. But hope you enjoyed the show. We'll definitely be back when the season starts. I'm excited for that because I have a feeling we're not going to make it. I want to see us fight. I want them to prove me wrong. You guys as well. We never know. All right. You have a good night, Lash. It was a good
one. See you, man. See you next week.
Peace, brother.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.